But out of those guys, who do you think reasonably, if I'm going to sit here and pigeonhole you right now and say, Adam, who makes it into the top 12? Who you got?
This is tough because if you tell me right now that Taysom Hill is the starter all 17 games, it's him. It has to be, right?
You're speaking to my heart, man. Yes, yes.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Today, we kick off our positional preview series with the quarterback situation, man. It is ready to go. It is go time. We are going to start rolling through all of these positions. Adam, are you ready to discuss all these quarterbacks and where they fall in our tiers?
Yeah, it's always fun talking about quarterbacks because the position is always loaded, but we've talked like it's even more so loaded this year, especially at the top. So it's like you can always say, yeah, let's just wait and wait and wait at the quarterback position, but we'll break it down into tiers, like you said, but it's clear where the elite of the elite are, and it was very interesting doing tiers because I'll just say, usually in the past, it's like, okay, you have one or two guys that are clearly in that elite number one tier, but not so much the case here in 2021, so it's an even more interesting position than it normally is, I feel like.
I love it this year. I think that there are so many different ways because we do have some uncertainties here. We have some guys that, like, with these rookies and how we're looking at, like, okay, are they going to start week one? Are they not going to start? And where we're going to, like, ranking and how people are approaching that? Because I think there's a lot of different ways that you can approach the situation and with all of these teams. Like, we're going to get into all that, man. But before we hop into this, got to mention this here off the top. A lot of the ADPs, structures, strategies we're going to mention in these positions as we roll through this entire series. So excited to sit here and talk about our continuing partnership with Underdog Fantasy. You got to head over there today, underdog.com, use the promo code FTN. Get in these drafts, man. Adam and I have been putting them out on Twitter and however you want to approach this. Like, you know that I am in these Best Ball Mania streets. You can come meet me there because you sign up with the promo code FTN. You get $25 free. So if you want to use that for one entry, come shoot for the millie like me. Or we're doing a bunch of $5 drafts. You want to get five drafts, sit here and take me and Adam on and try to take our money? Come on, let's have it, man. So got to get signed up there talking about all these ADPs. Adam, kick us off here. Who is in your tier one for quarterbacks right now?
Yeah, so like wherever you listen or read for fantasy football content, you will see that the unquestioned top five quarterbacks that are all in tier one. Like it's different to have five different quarterbacks in a single first tier. In the past, it's been Mahomes and Lamar have been the first two tiers, and then the year before that, it was Mahomes was in the tier by himself, and all the years ago, back I don't want to say back in the day, but because they're still playing, but like 5 to 7 years ago, Brady and Rodgers, they were in that tier one. This year, it's five really, really exciting, young, talented quarterbacks that are in tier one. It's Patrick Mahomes, and this is not in a particular order, but I think everyone would agree that the tier one is, in some order, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Lamar Jackson. And look, it's hard for me, even with how loaded the quarterback position is, to not want to get one of these guys. But that's got to be the tier one, and I'm almost 95% sure that you would agree.
I definitely agree, man. If people want to hear like where these quarterbacks kind of sit in our tier one rankings, you got to head over to FTN Fantasy. Dude, we have got so many people on the site in our consensus, and this we have so many additions coming in the weeks to, like leading up to week one that are going to happen for FTNFantasy.com. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. One of those things is our updated rankings platform. So you head over there. You can see across everybody ranking on the site. You, me, Elliot Chris, Brad Evans, Jeff Ratcliffe. Also, we have other people from the site ranking, man. Like, Steffi Smalls is in on the action. And looking at those consensus ranks, so you got to head over to FTN, get signed up to find out where we have these guys in our tier one. But I'm with you, man. Like, I think that that's pretty much chalk for the industry right now. Not surprised by that. And how people want to dice those quarterbacks up. Like, if you want to shoot your shots and not just saying be different, but like, if Mahomes is not your QB1, I get it. Like, there are so many guys in this top tier out of these five players that you can make a really, really solid case for as being your quarterback one. Like, if you wanted to go with Kyler, hell, if you want to go with Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, I absolutely understand it. Because, look, Allen, we saw what he did last year. Team's still going to be top three in passing rate. Lamar Jackson, they added to the offensive line. The passing weapons got an upgrade. Like, we know he's still going to run, so you're baking that into your projection for him. Kyler, we saw what he did at the beginning of the season until he got hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and hate on anybody that wants to sit here and have any one of these five quarterbacks ranked in any type of order. Even if, like, people are like, oh, well, how in the absolute hell do you have Patrick Mahomes ranked as, like, your QB5 or something like that? What we're talking about here? All of these guys have rushing equity amidst passing upsides. Like, do you think it's insane for somebody to have Mahomes as QB5 right now, Adam? Because I don't think that it's insane at all.
No, and that's why these guys are all in tier one, because you can make the case for every single one of them to be the quarterback one. Josh Allen was the quarterback one last year. We've seen the obvious step forward he made last year. Dak Prescott might have been the quarterback one if he didn't get hurt. He was on pace to set a bunch of passing records in that fast-paced, high-powered Cowboys offense. Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. I know we have an extra game this year, but they are absolute legitimate candidates to have a 4,000 passing yard, 1,000 rushing yard season at the quarterback position. And you talked about Kyler struggling a little bit through that shoulder injury. Still, you know, he didn't miss any games, but wasn't attacking downfield, and he stopped running as much, so that hurt his touchdown upside as well. And then Lamar, like, he is getting Rashad Bateman, Sammy Watkins to help that offense, which will help because we don't think Hollywood Brown is a true one. Still has Mark Andrews, and he wasn't running as much in the beginning of the year, and then down the stretch he was running a ton, and that's when he was back to posting like those top three quarterback numbers. And then Mahomes, obviously, like, not much needs to be said about him. Still orchestrating probably the most unstoppable offense in the NFL. It's crazy how loaded it is at the top, but clearly all five quarterbacks deserve to be in that tier one. There shouldn't be a quarterback, in my opinion, among these five that should be in a tier by themselves. It should be all of them in tier one, and that's what we have.
Absolutely, and I think as we kind of roll into our tier two here, the other part of this is that, like, I don't think any of these tier two quarterbacks need to be in tier one either. And yes, I know I love Jalen Hurts, and I've been out on Twitter and social media and talking about all this Nick Mullen stuff and exciting and just poking all the bears out there. But I don't think that even Jalen Hurts needs to be in tier one. So, like, rolling through our tier two here, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts. I think the most interesting player, and both of us still have him in this tier two, Adam, is Aaron Rodgers. Because we both talked about him a ton on the podcast, where we think he will go, won't go, what he's going to do, is he going to play, is he going to retire, all these different things. And, I mean, like, look, whether you think he's in Green Bay or another different team, I think he still showed us that he's got the talent still left in his body. Yeah. That he needs to be in this tier, regardless of wherever he is.
That's what it comes down to for me, because I'm assuming that Rodgers is playing in the NFL, whether it's with Green Bay or not. But the two teams that it seems like he's going to play for this year, Green Bay, where he would still be in this tier two regardless, no matter what. He's just had an MVP season. He's got Devontae Adams. Like, he's going to be good. If he's not in Green Bay and he's still playing in the NFL, looks like he could be in Denver, where he would have Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, two very capable running backs. Like he would clearly be able to post numbers in that offense to where he would still belong in the second tier. So it's, for me, we'll talk about some of the tier three players in a little bit, but like Rodgers is the one guy, depending on like what happens if he didn't go to Denver or if he retired, obviously he would slide out and somebody else from tier three could move in, but yeah, I mean, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, and Jalen Hurts, the other three in this tier for me, I mean, we've talked about Jalen Hurts a ton. He could finish like close to some of the guys in tier one if everything breaks right for him. We know the rushing upside that he presents, and we talked about it with John Daigle last week on the pod that they were just kind of using him really, really wrong. He was dropping back and throwing the ball deep down the field to, you know, no one. I mean, their pass catchers were completely depleted, and now we get Devonta Smith, who can be a true one for this team, which they haven't had in forever. You have Dallas Goedert, who's still, you know, a top seven tight end in the league. The offensive line is going to be healthier, which, again, most combinations of offensive linemen, starting offensive lines in the NFL last year, that'll help. And, like, we just know what the upside is when you have that type of rushing numbers behind you. So, yeah, like, I do think he belongs in this tier two ahead of some of the guys that are in tier three. And I'm, as the Jalen Hurts guy, I know you agree for sure.
I mean, look, with a quarterback that we can legitimately say has the upside, like you have so eloquently put it, and it is absolutely on point. He's one of three guys in the NFL, Adam, that could post a 4,000-yard passing season and 1,000 yards rushing.
Yep.
To me, how in the absolute hell do you not put him in Tier 2, if that's the case? And yes, he could sneak into Tier 1. He absolutely could if all of the stars align and he crushes this year. That means that he's probably in Tier 1. Now, in saying that, yes, again, I led this off with saying that I can't rank him in Tier 1. Because he's a step behind, and I'm baking in some of the uncertainty and what this offense could look like, and all these different things.
Right, and it was a three game sample last year where he was obviously posting quarterback one numbers for sure, but like we've seen Lamar do it for a couple years now, Kyler's done it, Josh Allen, like you just got to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. They've been doing it, and you know. I think Hurts has every opportunity to finish as like a quarterback in that quarterback like 5 to 7 range, and that's where that tier two kind of belongs for him. So if Devonta Smith is what he anywhere close to what he was in college, Jalen Hurts should have no problem being very good for fantasy.
So here, I guess with this tier two, here's the biggest thing from myself. Like evaluating. We know what Russell Wilson is. We know kind of how that offense is going to run. I mean, at least we think we do. What do you think? Is Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson, do they have the ability? Could they sneak into Tier 1? Russell, I'm lower on. I just don't know, and I don't think that they're going to pass enough for him to get there.
Right.
The rushing, he's probably going to end up with like 500 yards, somewhere around there. Depends on the rushing touchdowns. Herbert's the most interesting guy outside of Hurts in this tier. Like, what's his ceiling? Could he be top five this year? Because, like, I struggle with it. Like, I see it. I see it. But I just don't know, like, does he have the rushing ability to get him there?
I think he's closer to, in terms of rushing, like, not as, like, he's like, he's closer to what Josh Allen is in terms of rushing production, but not as good, right? He's going to get like 250 to 300 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns, whereas Allen will get you like closer to 500 and 7 or 8. But they called his number a lot in the red zone last year. And like the difference between Herbert is outside of Keenan Allen, I don't know if you can trust his pass catchers. I like Mike Williams at his ADP. We've talked about that, but he's been a little bit up and down in his career, has missed time. We talked about his kind of weird numbers he's posted throughout his season. So I don't think he has enough talent around him to get up there with Josh Allen and Lamar and Kyler and all those guys. But Wilson, we know absolutely does. I mean, he's got one of the best duos in the NFL with Metcalf and Lockett. Chris Carson's an elite running back. If you told me right now that Russell Wilson would average 40 pass attempts a game, I'd probably put him in tier one. Like,
yeah.
Efficiency-wise, he's been as good as it gets at the quarterback position. We know that. He's been incredibly efficient. It's just, and we saw it last year, he was the MVP of the NFL the first few weeks of the season. It wasn't even a debate. Like, he was the MVP, like, the first 8 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle was, I think, leading or behind Buffalo in terms of percentage of passes on first down. Like, they were throwing early and often in games, and it was awesome. But then second half comes, they go back to that, you know, they go back to establishing the run. Their offense takes a step back. Russell Wilson's numbers take a step back, and he's still going to be in that top eight at quarterback. But if he's not throwing, if he's having games where he's throwing 27 times more often than he's throwing 40, he's not going to be able to compete with Josh Allen, who's throwing a ton, and Dak Prescott, who's throwing a ton, and Mahomes, who's throwing a ton, and Lamar and Kyler, who are throwing enough and then rushing for 70 yards a game. You know, it's just, if we're talking about NFL talent, he would be in tier one. He's still as good as it gets at the quarterback position. I just wish they would just let him. It's just so weird. Like, there isn't a better. It reminds me of Andrew Luck. You take Russell Wilson off that team, it's like a 4-win team. Same with Andrew Luck when he was in the Colts. They were like a 3 or 4 win team. And yet you don't play through your best player as much as you should. Like, look what the Bills did. Okay, this is our future of a franchise. This is our guy. Let's play through him. Oh, look. And yes, they had Stephon Diggs. I get it. That obviously helped Josh Allen's trajectory. But, like, you don't have to add anybody on Seattle. You have two studs already. You know, like, and Russell Wilson, you don't have any question marks. Just freaking play through him. He's really good.
Dude, look, put it this way. I mean, when you have a dust bunny collecting head coach like in Pete Carroll that like is going to trot out, do all these antiquated things, and people could say whatever the hell they want to about it, like it caps it. And like I have a hard time even like, okay, yes, we saw it, but we also saw them go away from it. Like, and the other part of it, that defense, okay, you could say, okay, well, they're going to have to throw. Well, not necessarily. Like, Seattle just could say, okay, we're just going to play keep away and run the ball.
I have a take.
Okay.
Do we think Seattle, and I know they were like a run-first team forever, but do you think Pete Carroll's afraid to go pass heavy since the Marshawn Lynch Super Bowl debacle?
Ooh! Those scars are still real, man. Do you think
every time he throws the ball from 10 yards out of the end zone, he just has a ton of
PTSD? What, he sees Malcolm Butler in his mind's eye? Is that what
he has crazy PTSD.
Oh my gosh. Like, to have Malcolm Butler's like face like on auto repeat, that has to be scary stuff, man. Like, I can't rule it out. I mean, because look at the Seattle offense. Like, look at what they do year after year. And people, I know, people love Dwayne Eskridge and they want to talk about him. I'm sorry. Like, if you think Dwayne Eskridge is going to be the key to, like, re-unlocking Russell Wilson and the passing rate, that's a really spicy pill to swallow, my friend. That's a spicy pill.
He's not better than the receiver they watched go to Carolina in this offseason. That's nope. David Moore.
No, he's like, not. Like, so, no.
So, no. Yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson's going to be, like, that great. I took him in our Superflex mock draft we did. He's going to be that great, like, you miss out on the top five, but you're not comfortable waiting for, like, Stafford or some of the other quarterbacks we'll talk about. You know what you're getting from Russell Wilson. He's going to finish top eight. If, for whatever reason, they let him just, and it's so overused, but they let him cook. He can flirt with Kyler numbers and Lamar numbers because he's going to give you enough rushing. It's just, we haven't seen it. The coaching staff is the same. It's still Pete Carroll. So it's tough to expect him to all of a sudden average, you know, 35 to 40 passing attempts.
I just can't put that in my projection or my rankings, like looking at how this year can unfold. Could I be wrong? Sure. That's fine. I mean, look, we're going to own plenty of L's throughout the entire season on things that we're previewing here. And yeah,
I owned one when you were gone last week. I had, I had Meany on and I forget. Oh, we were doing the NFC South preview, so we were talking about Tampa Bay, and I completely took the L on Gronk. Like, I thought Gronk was going to do nothing.
My guess was going to be Gronk. I was wondering if you were going to sit here and talk about how you hate
him.
Like,
I completely was like, don't draft Gronk. Don't draft Gronk. And, I mean, he wasn't Gronk of 10 years ago, but he was
still good.
He was good. So, yeah, you got to take the L's. It's all part of it.
Can't enjoy the W's if you're not willing to sit here and suffer through the L's as well, my friend. Like, it is what it is, man. But hopping over to Tier 3, we got Tom Brady, we were just talking about, kicking us off here for Tier 3, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow. I saw you snuck Ryan Tannehill, and we're going to get to him. These first three quarterbacks, I'm with you. Like, I think they deserve and all should be in, like, in that bottom, like, QB1 range, this tier three that we're talking about here. With some of this movement, I mean, look, we discussed this previously. Up until the Julio trade, we had Matt Ryan here, and now you have Ryan Tannehill sneaking in here. Outside of Tannehill, before we get to him, kind of walk me through this. And I don't know if anybody's going to be surprised by this, because they really shouldn't be. But, like, what are your thoughts on Stafford? Should we have Burrow a little bit higher? Could he sneak into tier two?
Off passing volume alone, Burrow definitely could. It's kind of like the opposite argument we had with Russell Wilson, where the efficiency, we don't know if it's going to be there with Joe Burrow. He was obviously on pace to, before he got hurt, he was second in the NFL in passing attempts. Cincinnati was obviously operating a pass-heavy offense, and I expect that to continue this year. And they have an elite trio at receiver with T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyler Boyd. Like, he looks like he's on track to start the season, which is really the only concern you have about him entering the season. So yeah, there's a lot to like about Joe Burrow. He's like, he was probably in like that Trevor Lawrence type of rushing numbers coming out of college, and we saw a little bit in his rookie year. Coming off the injury, maybe that goes to him, just they don't want him to run, period. But still, like, he's going to be a candidate to lead the NFL in passing attempts. Like, that's legitimately a possibility. And when you're as talented as Joe Burrow, and when you're pass catchers are as talented as the Bengals are, you're going to be good in fantasy. So I comfortably still have the tier two guys ahead of him, but if he finished with more fantasy points than Russell Wilson or even Justin Herbert, I don't think I'd be shocked.
No, I don't think I'd be shocked either, man. And again, people could be a little bit shocked that we have Matthew Stafford here, but like, we've talked about it. We talked about it with Daigle, dude. Like the pace is coming back. This is a really, really good offense, man. Like, I think the Rams are going to smash this year. I think Matthew Stafford, and you hear Sean McVay talking. Like, we saw that video clip. I put it out on my timeline last week. McVay is talking about how happy he is. He's talking about how much he loves Matthew Stafford, and at the same time, digging a huge hole for Jared Goff and just sticking him straight in the coffin all the way from Detroit. Like, how could you not be high on this Rams offense, man?
Yeah. The only concern I have about Stafford is their defense is good. They're talking about Cam Akers just being the guy, and they were one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL last year, especially in close. I think they ran the ball like 75% of the time from inside like the 15-yard line.
Yep.
So that could hurt his upside a bit. But again, we're talking about tier three. I don't think he's going to be a tier two, or definitely not a tier one guy. But we're talking about tier three, where the guys that we don't have in tier three that we'll talk about in a little bit, like they aren't Matthew Stafford, and they're not in offenses that are, first of all, like Sean McVay. I think people forget how good of a play caller he is and an offensive mind he is, because how huge of a step back Jared Goff took the last couple years. And we talked about Jared Goff was under 5 yards per five air yards per intended air yards per target last year. Like, it's that's an insanely ridiculously low number. That ain't happening with Matthew Stafford. It's not going to be the Detroit Lions, you know, Matthew Stafford, where it's just a, you know, top five and ADOT. Maybe he will still be, but he's going to be way more aggressive than Jared Goff. Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are a great duo as well. Plus, they have field stretchers with Tutu Atwell and DeSean Jackson. So yeah, I do think he belongs in this tier. I have him probably. Brady still the highest in this tier, and then probably Stafford and Burrow are third and fourth, but he does belong in this tier. I just worry about passing touchdowns, which is weird for Stafford because we're so used to seeing him post a ton of great numbers on a bad Lions team, but for the first time in his career, he's on a very good football team.
I mean, I love him, and I think that, like, a lot of people that have talked so much shit about Matthew Stafford after he had the one massive blow-up year, and then I think they were so hurt and let down, like, after he didn't replicate that. I think we see that Matthew Stafford come back. Like, not to that same type of ilk, but, like, I think the talent is still there, man. Like, he makes ridiculous throws. He does all these types of things that both deep down the field, off script, year after year after year. And because his name is not Patrick Mahomes, we don't sit here and give him enough love for all the freaking things he does. And, well, he's been in Detroit, and that has been just a crap sandwich with Matt Patricia there in previous years. So I love what we're going to see out of the Rams offense this year. Getting over to Ryan Tannehill and Julio arriving in Tennessee, Man, like, I'm not going to say that I don't like Ryan Tannehill. I have him lower than you do in our ranks over at FTN Fantasy. But I've come up on him because, I mean, earlier in the offseason, before the Julio trade, I did post an article talking about how you should be lower on Ryan Tannehill because, yes, I am not a Todd Downing believer. The last time we saw him as an offensive coordinator, let's just put it out there, he was absolutely terrible, 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 and the things and what he did in that offense were horrible considering what Ryan Tannehill's done to an excellent, excellent, like elite degree since taking over in Tennessee. But I agree with you. I think that he's flirting with this top 12, like top 13 ranking. I understand that people have him in the top 12, and I get it. I do. Because A.J. Brown and Julio being there, yes, can I talk about Downing? And are they better than Crabtree and Cooper and what they had back in 2017 with the Raiders? Yes, they absolutely are. But I guess, speak to me on Tannehill. Like, because I understand, like, I'm not still sitting on that, okay, I had him lower, I'm not against moving him up. I just, this next tier of quarterbacks that we're going to talk about right after Ryan Tannehill that could get into the top 12, I find myself like more enamored with them than Ryan Tannehill, but talk me off of it, man. Like, tell me why you have Tannehill above some of these other guys we're about to get into.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I contemplated putting Tannehill in tier 2 towards the bottom.
Like, really?
He's been that good. He's literally okay. Behind Lamar Jackson in fantasy points per dropback since taking over for the Titans. He's been – and I'll be the first to admit, like, I think this time last year I was like, okay, he was efficient. Sure, it's going to come back down to earth this year. It didn't. It didn't at all. And, yeah, like, would I rather have Arthur Smith calling plays than Todd Downing? I would. But, like, at the end of the day, like, they kept him the offensive coordinator job in-house. I think it's more of like a – I don't think their offense is going to drastically change. Now, obviously, that was in terms of play calling and stuff. Julio Jones does change their offense, obviously. But I just think, like, at some point, we just got to respect what this guy's done and how he's turned his career around and how efficient he's been. He gives you rushing touchdown upside, too. Like, we talk about Derrick Henry. He's obviously the focal point and the heart and soul of this offense. But they get in situations when they're in close and everybody in the entire planet is expecting Derrick Henry to get the ball. I mean, Tannehill had 7 rushing touchdowns last year. He's going to give you like 4 to 6 rushing touchdowns. He's just been so efficient. You add Julio Jones, who, you know, I love Julio. I still think he's a top 5 talent in the league. You're not ranking him that way for fantasy, but like, I don't care if he's 32. He's as good as it gets. A.J. Brown is obviously an ascending elite receiver. Like, I just think it's at the end of the day, like, there's no reason he shouldn't be here with what he's done in this offense, despite also not seeing crazy volume. And, like, what's the difference between Tannehill and Russell Wilson, who we had in tier 2?
Okay, so my difference between those two quarterbacks, and this is going to kind of get through, like, a little bit more of the pace, the pass. Like Tennessee and Seattle, even though Seattle went more run-heavy, their passing rates were still higher than Tennessee. That's fair. Like, Tennessee is about like going to flirt with like 50%. Like maybe they throw more under Downing. Maybe that happens, okay? But my problems with Tennessee is that, okay, Arthur Smith quietly directed, and people don't understand this because, okay, they were super run heavy, and people correlate, okay, slow offenses with run heavy. They put those two things together constantly, and they don't look at pace stats and understand like, you could be a fast offense and still be run, and just run a whole lot at fast pace. It doesn't happen very often, but that's what we saw with Tennessee. They were top 5 in neutral and total pace. And so, yes, they ran the ball a crap ton, but if the pace goes down, because the last time that Todd Downing directed an offense, the pace was, I want to say off the top of my head, 17th. That's going to hurt. And if the passing rate does not come up enough to offset a pace drop for this team, the volume could surprise some people in, like, how much that's hurt. And I just don't know if people are marrying those two concepts together well enough to understand that, like, there's a difference between when we talk about Russell Wilson and when we talk about Ryan Tannehill and what this offense could look like, not even getting into Okay, Ryan Tannehill has been immensely, like, ridiculously, stupidly good on play action over the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Todd Downing was not a fan of play action, and you don't see, like, offensive coordinators usually just flip. Like, okay, even really, really good ones, like, say, like, Sean Payton and other coordinators, you want to talk about Bruce Arians and his offensive systems. Like, they don't usually just say, okay, we've never incorporated a lot of play action, and no, Todd Downing's got a smaller sample one season. I get it. I get it. Versus all these other coordinators that I just mentioned in that breath. But you don't see coordinators usually go, okay, I've never really incorporated play action, especially as high as Tennessee was doing last year, and magically all of a sudden say, like, well, we're going to do that. Now, maybe he does that to more of an extent than what he did with the Raiders, but is it going to be to the level that Arthur Smith did it? That's my problem.
Can I make a counterpoint?
Yep, go ahead. Floor is yours.
Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Downing has not had Derrick Henry. And I just don't think their offensive philosophy is going to change as much as you do. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's just like Derrick Henry has been.
So you think their pace is going to be good? Like you're putting them top five this year?
I don't know about pace, but in terms of philosophy, I think they're going to still want to use play action with Derrick Henry and get A.J. Brown involved after the catch where he's been elite, and now you have Julio Jones on the opposite side to do whatever he wants to do because he's still that dude.
So you think their play action rate's going to be either inside the top 10? Like first and 10th is what I believe they were the last two seasons with Tannehill. You think they're going to get there?
I think they'll be in that. So this is kind of...
Top 5?
This is kind of cheating.
Top 7?
I will say they will finish in between...
I'm asking! Like, I'm legit asking!
I know. I will say they'll finish in between 8 and 12 would be the worst case.
Okay.
So I'll say top 12 at the worst, which...
Okay.
Which, like, if Tannehill's in that
you
top
You do know 15, Todd Downing was, like, bottom 5 with Derek Carr, right?
That's fine. Who's our running back
there? I'm just saying! I want to say it was Marshawn Lynch at the
I was going to say, it's probably Marshawn Lynch, so...
Yeah.
Derek Henry's just... He just opens up everything, man. Okay. I don't know. I just think Tannehill at this point, like, we just got to, at this point, accept that. In this new environment he's been in Tennessee with this team, he's just been as efficient as a lot of these guys. I mean, like I said, second in fantasy points per drop back the last 2 years behind Lamar. So,
okay.
I obviously like him a lot more than you do, but you admit you have to move him up after the Julio Jones trade, obviously. Yep. So, it's going to be interesting to see how Julio changes that offense for sure.
Had to move him up. Like, I had him, and I forget off the top of my head. I want to say he was somewhere in the 20s.
I think you had him, like, 23rd or something.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Like, he was low in QB2 before
But it made
this.
Sense, too. I mean, when you were low on him, his number two pass catcher was, well, receiver was Josh Reynolds. His number two pass catcher was probably going to be Anthony Firkser. So it's like, yeah, I mean, like, you lose Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, and all of a sudden you have to expect the efficiency to go down, and then they just happen to add one of the five best receivers to ever play football, and kind of changes things.
I mean, it did, and you have to be liquid with this. You have to be willing to adjust your ranks and stuff. So, like, I've moved him up, but again, diving into this final tier that we're going to discuss in this quarterback situations, like, dude. There is a bunch of guys. I'm going to read off a laundry list of names. And you pick out for me who you think out of this list of six quarterbacks I'm going to bring up. Well, seven. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
Seven quarterbacks I'm going to bring up here. You tell me right now as we sit recording this, who out of this list do you think feasibly could sneak into the top 12? All right. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Tua Tagovailoa, and I always butcher his name. I'm sorry, Tua. I love you. That's why I always call it Tua time. Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Saints quarterback situation. So if you want to go with Winston, you want to go with Taysom, pick your warrior. That's fine. But out of those guys, who do you think reasonably, if I'm going to sit here and pigeonhole you right now and say, Adam, who makes it into the top 12? Who you got?
This is tough because if you tell me right now that Taysom Hill is the starter all 17 games, it's him. It has to be, right?
It's man. Yes. Yes. All like, right. You got one. There we go.
We saw him as a quarterback one in his starts last year. And yes, they played the Falcons twice. I get it. Whatever. But you want to talk about rushing touchdowns? He scored them. I'll let you bring up the numbers because you wrote about it in that awesome article you have at FTN Fantasy about the Saints quarterbacks. His passing numbers better than you think, especially in the intermediate, which is what the Saints are going to do. Like, if he's the quarterback in Sean Payton's offense, they're going to continue with the intermediate passing. So he was good in that, and he was good with Michael Thomas. And it's just the safety with him rushing and getting yardage and getting touchdowns on the ground. Now, I will say, if I had to choose somebody, assuming Jameis is a starter, again, this is assuming a lot of things, but assuming Trey Lance starts for San Francisco, assuming Justin Fields starts week one for the Chicago Bears, I love Justin Fields more than pretty much anybody. You know that. You love him as much as I do, probably, or definitely. But it's hard to deny the upside that Trey Lance would have in that offense if he starts from day one with Kyle Shanahan, which has been an absolute goldmine for fantasy offenses. We know he's going to give you rushing. He's got the arm talent as well. And oh, by the way, he has George Kittle, Debo Samuel, and now Brandon Ayuk. Like that, that type. But like we talked about this before we got on the pod. If Trey Lance and Justin Fields are announced starters for week one, I'm more than likely ranking them over Trevor Lawrence, which I don't think a lot of people would do, but that's where I'm at. So,
would you rank them over Joe Burrow or Ryan Tannehill?
Not Tannehill. Burrow would be close. They would probably be all back to back, to be honest with you.
And that's, I mean, look, if I'm
like, it might be Brady, it might be Tannehill and Brady in the top of that tier three we talked about, and then Stafford. And then the next couple ranking spots and at quarterback for me would probably be Burrow, those two rookie quarterbacks, and then some of the other guys like we have, like the guys we haven't talked, like so, like the whoever you have in the, you know, whatever 16 to 20 range, like whoever you like the best out of those guys, like that's where they would move for me.
And so for me, like I think Brady and Stafford kind of say they're like stay in that tier three, and for me, you're looking at this six pack of quarterback names. The ones that I'm basically lockstep with you. Like I think Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Taysom are the guys out of this range that I would pick out.
Yep.
Like if I knew they were starting the entire season, and somebody is like, okay, here's one giant wad of cash, bet on me the three names that can make top 12 here and kick other guys out of that equation. Mm-hmm. Those are the three guys I'll put my money on, and people are and there is one definitive. Definitive, if people haven't already realized what it is that is going to lock them all together and it gives everybody high floor, high ceiling, is the freaking rushing production, dude. Like Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Taysom Hill, all three of those guys have more rushing production or their upside to do such than even Trevor Lawrence. And I understand, I get it. He has rushing upside. But to say that he has the same rushing upside as Taysom, Lance, and Fields is a stretch. I don't think that he does. And, you know, so it lowers him for me. And right now, like, I would have no problem. Like, I have Fields and Lance, and everybody approaches their rankings a little bit differently. I'm not going to say how high I have them over Ryan Tannehill, but I do have them over Ryan Tannehill right now. Considering, and this is me projecting them starting week one. Now, right now, we have got limited news. We don't know where that stands, but everybody approaches the rankings differently. I'm approaching like they're going to be the starters week one. Until we hear differently, like people are like, well, how are you doing that? And I'm like, well, how the hell do you know that Andy Dalton's definitively is going to be under center? How the hell do you know that Jimmy Garoppolo is definitively going to be under center? You don't. You don't. So don't come at me with, okay, there's no way that they start. How do you know that there's no way that, like, that we know? Locke said forget that Andy and Jimmy are going to start. You don't know that. So you can approach us for whatever way that you believe that is going to happen, and that's fine. I have no issue with that. But those are the three quarterbacks that I'm going to take that are going to possibly make it into the top 12. And if you want to be grabbing them, like, dude, on Underdog right now, Trey Lance's ADP has been skyrocketing, okay? It's going up. You can still get him in the 120s. And we're talking about what his upside could be. Justin Fields is still going super late. Nobody's drafting Taysom Hill. He's still free. Like, he's outside the top 200 players. Why are people not drafting these guys? Is it because of the uncertainty? That's what you're going with? Like, enjoy these ADPs, man. Get signed up today and in these drafts. Because the closer we get to the season, people are going to wake up and they're going to understand that, oh my gosh, I should have been taking advantage of that for weeks and months. Like, I should have been slamming them at those ADPs because we're never going to see it again, Adam.
We talked about it a lot, but like Justin Fields with Mooney and Cole Kmet late in drafts is like one of my favorite stacks. But like, obviously, like underdog, different ball game than your standard redraft for your home league. But like, I'm not huge on drafting two quarterbacks. Like, if you're drafting someone from tier one at quarterback, you don't need to draft the backup. But like, if you're drafting from tier two, or if your starting quarterback is, you know, Brady or Stafford or Tannehill, dude, I would 150% draft Justin Fields or Trey Lance or late with your last couple picks. Yeah. Because they have legitimate top 5 to 7 upside. And then, like, that's what happened. That's how Lamar Jackson's rookie year was. He was a late round fantasy pick. And then he was the unquestioned, oh, this is the guy I'm starting forever.
He was a league winner, Adam. He, like, exactly. Between him and CMC, if you want to go back to, like, percentages, you want to go to ESPN, you want to look at percentages in those years, like, who basically was winning you your league if you drafted them? It was freaking CMC, which if you didn't have a top three pick, good luck, you ain't getting him. But Lamar Jackson was the damn cheat code, dude. It was like if you drafted him, like you were going to the fantasy playoffs. Yeah. Like these guys could be that type of upside. And people are going to say, okay, well, really, you think Justin Fields has that? We so quickly forget that in Trubisky's rookie or his season with the first one with Nagy, we so quickly forget before he forgot the ability of how to run and he got scared that he was a top 12 fantasy quarterback, Adam. And if we think that, like, okay, dear God in heaven, Mitch Trubisky can be a top 12 fantasy quarterback inside of that offensive system with the players around him at that time, and we believe that Justin Fields is a better rushing quarterback, which he is, you're telling me that Justin Fields' ceiling can't be higher than top 12, considering all of that?
I mean, Justin Fields is better at everything than Mitchell Trubisky.
Immensely.
Justin Fields is also the absolute GOAT. So, but like, like I said, if you're not drafting a tier one quarterback, and like tier two, like as much as we love Jalen Hurts, he's not a lock. You know, what if he struggles out of the gate? They go to Flacco for crying out loud. You know, like, then you can pair with Trey Lance late. And once Trey Lance takes, because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo, if he does start, I don't think he's starting the whole year. I just don't see it happening.
Yep.
And Justin Fields, I expect to start right away. Like, you're set because they're talented as hell. And they're in good environments. And there's just so much upside there that, even though I don't love taking two quarterbacks in you know your regular redrafts, there's obvious potential to doing so when it's one of these guys that we think could sneak in the top 12, like we mentioned.
I mean, even if you want to go super late, man, why if you're drafting the two quarterbacks, then just draft Taysom and Jameis. Or draft, you see what I'm saying? Like, you know one of those guys is going to be the starter. If you were just like, okay, the last picks of the draft, last two, instead of taking a flyer on, okay, could this guy get hurt? No, does he pan out in training camp? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you could wait and get a starting quarterback. If you go Taysom Hill and Jameis, like Taysom Hill has top 10 upside, like we're talking about. Or Jameis is going to be a mid QB2 to start your year. Like, and then grab somebody else to like, okay, now we know the starter and we're going into week one. Okay, I drop the other guy, or maybe I hold him through week one, and I drop him after that, and then I pick up another QB2 guy, because in a lot of your 12-team leagues, they're not going to draft two quarterbacks, dude, unless you're playing super flex, that's not going to happen. So you're going to see maybe Trey Lance, if Jimmy G starts, floating out there on the waiver wire. You're going to see Ryan Fitzpatrick probably floating out there on the waiver wire. Tua floating on the waiver wire. Like, guys that, like, we're talking about are in sneaky good situations that maybe they crest the top 12. Okay, we haven't mentioned them in our, okay, who are we putting our money with? But, like, come on, man. Like, we talked about it in the offseason. Like, Washington, I think Scott Turner is sneaky, like, a really good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there's a lot. So many things. You want to talk about pace.
Dude, so many good things out of that offense. They're going to run a lot of motion, a lot of play action. The pace is going to be good. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I know that, like, we were saying, okay, who are we going to put our money with to make it into the top 12? Fitzpatrick is going to be good this year, man. And depending on how good that Washington offense is what's going to, like, set up for his ceiling. But he's going to be good,
I just think for him to be in the top 12 to finish there, he's going to be too inconsistent. He's going to have, like, look at his game logs, wherever he's at. We know he has huge fantasy spike weeks. He has a ton of top 10 finishes and a ton of, like, quarterback 24 finishes because of turnovers and stuff. And when you're not, and when you're not making up for those turnovers with high-end rushing numbers, you're not going to be good in fantasy. And that's why I think he's going to struggle, because he's going to have those games. That's just, you know, that's a kind of, he's an aggressive thrower. I was going to ask you, so we have, you have on the list here the guys that could sneak in the top 12 as the Saints quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tua, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Trevor Lawrence. If there was one quarterback not on that list that you had to choose that could get in the top 12, who could that be? Because I know my answer.
Oh, sweet mama.
Do you want me to give
mine
first? Kick
me off with your answer. Yeah, I kind of already know where you're going to go. Go ahead.
Do you?
I think I do. Go ahead. Tell me.
What team does he play for?
Oh, come on. Is this the smallest tweet? Is that what I'm reading right here?
No.
No? Okay, come on. Give me your surprise guy.
It's Cam Newton.
Oh, that was going to be my guy. I love it. Tell me why.
It's Cam Newton, man. He was pretty good in fantasy before, and I don't know how much the COVID stuff impacted it, and he had the shoulder and everything, and he didn't look good down the stretch. He also had, and I want to emphasize this, legitimately, since I've started following football and doing the fantasy stuff, probably one of the three worst groups of pass catchers I've ever seen in my life. Without question. You get Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, which is where Cam Newton was best in his MVP season, having Greg Olsen in the middle of the field, and field stretchers. You know, that was the makeup of that Carolina team. It was field stretchers, it was Ted Ginn and those guys, and it was Greg Olsen underneath. Look at the makeup of this team. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and then the guys in the middle. Also has one of the three best offensive lines in the NFL.
Okay.
And he was fourth among all players in carries from inside the 5-yard line last year. Only Dalvin, Zeke, and Kenny and Drake had more. He had 21 carries from inside the 5. That was 72% of their carries from inside the 5-yard line. One of the highest rates in the entire league. Don't sleep on Cam getting back to that top 12. I know last year was a train wreck, but, like, on paper, New England's not an awful, like, they're going to be in games. They're going to be able to run the football at a high rate because their offensive line's great and Cam's great still as a runner. He's going to be better as a passer than he was last year. The group of pass catchers is exponentially better. I have Cam as a sneaky, sneaky guy. The only question, obviously, is does he hold on to that job for Mac Jones all year? Which, if he's healthy, I know he has a little injury right now, but if he's healthy, I don't see how Mac Jones takes this job from Cam Newton. I really don't.
I don't either, man. I love this take. I actually thought you were going with Daniel Jones and doubling down on your breakout guy. People need to go check out that episode we did with Daigle. And I know you brought up Daniel Jones there.
If Daniel
and stuff,
Jones had Cam Newton's offensive line, I probably would have doubled down with it.
Dude, Cam is going to be behind a fantastic offensive line. And now he's got people around him that can actually catch the ball. Like, Damir Bird was god-awful last year. Nelson Aguilar,
I remember
when
I was looking at Daniel Jones' deep
runs.
Passing numbers for the breakout pod, Cam Newton stood out.
Yes, it does, man. I'm like, people are so quick and ready to bury Cam and willing to say, okay. I mean, you bringing him up here is awesome in the sense that we're talking about quarterbacks that people are scared, they're afraid to draft, or they're afraid to go in on. Cam Newton is free, Adam. He's outside the top 180 on Underdog right now. Like, he's free. So, like, tell me, where's the risk? Like, it's not even baked into his ADP. It's still even lower than that with Mac Jones. Like, I get that they drafted him in the first round. It's so funny how people want to cherry-pick narratives, okay? Like, They're talking about, okay, when you bring up the running back position for New England, they're like, well, Coach Bill doesn't like rookies. We just don't know if he's going to involve like somebody like Ramondre. But then they're like, but Mac Jones is, man, that guy's making some starts. It's going to happen. Mac Jones is going to be starting this year. It's like, do you just remember, like, do you remember what you just said about the running back position? Like, you don't think that maybe, if you believe that, does that not, does that not go over to quarterbacks too? Like, or sorry, just running backs. I'm sorry, but let me make sure, I'm making sure, like, what narratives we're cherry picking at this instance. But I think that, like, if New England gets off to a fast start, they come out the gate at them. Like, they're screaming out the gate. 4-1, 5-0. Hell, even if they're 3-2 and, like, they lost a close one. Do we really think that, like, New England is going to be like, okay, yes, let's go with Mac Jones? No.
Especially
I don't think
that
that's going to happen.
Belichick's not going to have a season where it's like, you know what? Buffalo's the better team, whatever. Let's just see what Mac Jones got.
I'm going to concede to Buffalo. I'm going to concede to Miami, especially former staff members actually running
like
that team. No.
Belichick's not going to be people thought he was going to rebuild and tank last year, and he still didn't. So no. With more talent on the roster this year, with getting guys back from holding out, with Stephon Gilmore, if he's not traded back from his injury, like, not a chance they're going to have a season where it's like, all right, well, you know, Cam's fine, he's good, but, like, let's see what Mac Jones has. Let's use this year to develop it. Like, no, it's not happening.
It's not going to happen, dude. And I understand that people are like, well, you know, but Cam wasn't great. There's a lot of things to sit here and bring up for context with that. And I'm not making excuses about Cam Newton's play. Was he absolutely terrible in some weeks? Yes. Yes, he was. But the other side of that is, yes, we understand that, like, we talk about, like, all these different players arriving in New England and how hard the system is to learn. And now we talk about in an offseason where they didn't have this, they didn't have that, they didn't have the ability to practice, right, to meet, all these kind of things. And you hear Cam Newton in the offseason come out on multiple interviews, and they talk about, like, okay, he missed time because of COVID, and everybody's like, well, it must have been the COVID that got him. And it's like, well, no, it could have been also the fact that he missed time and he's not in the building because he couldn't even be there. And there's a difference in reps and meetings and asking questions and being there and running the system, whether it's talking about, like, protections, checks at the line, things of all these different types of things. And Cam Newton's talking about, like, I missed time, and when I came back, all these things were different, and I was behind the eight ball when I entered the room. Like, just coming into training camp and into this team. And you hear these things coming out right now in the offseason talking about Cam Newton is at a different level of understanding and complexity and being familiar with the playbook. And now he's got better players around him that can actually catch the frickin' ball. Now he's still going to be behind a top three, top five offense. New England was first in the NFL in red zone rushing rate last year. Oh, Cam Newton's still under center. Is that going to still be, okay, maybe they're not first. Maybe they're not. Are they still going to be top five? I don't think that we could say that they won't. So you're talking about Cam Newton still showed us he can stack rushing touchdowns with the best of them still. If he does more things with his arm, if he's healthy, has a better understanding of the offense. I'm with you, man. Like, mm-hmm. Cam Newton is the guy at the very freaking end of your drafts.
I'm
punting the quarterback position. Go Cam Newton.
For the first time in his career and like, 12-team redraft or whatever, your home leagues, Cam Newton's probably not getting drafted.
Probably not. Nope.
Just pull a Dumb and Dumber and pick him up.
Seriously, like, if you're going to sit here and not draft a quarterback until the very end of your draft or the later rounds, why not just keep punting it down the road, grab Cam Newton? And I understand people are going to hate that take. I already know my mentions of DMs are going to get blown up.
That's fine. Who cares? We're not saying he's going to be a top 12 quarterback. We're saying there's a path, and you don't have to draft him as even a top 20 quarterback.
You don't. You really don't, man. Like, he is the perfect guy that if you're going to take him at the very end of your drafts, he's your QB2 if you're going to go with the two quarterbacks late in your drafts. Grab him, man. Like, pick him up, because the rushing upside is still there. The ceiling is still there. This is going to be an immensely different team than he was leading onto the field last year. And I think we're going to see, as long as he stays healthy and we can't project injuries and stuff, if he stays healthy and they're winning ball games, Cam Newton is going to stay under center. That's what that is how I'm forecasting this. And so, yes, I think that you're bringing up here for Cam Newton. That's the name I was going to mention. And I love it, man. So if anybody takes away from this entire quarterback situation, this entire episode, keep Cam Newton in your back pocket. Consider him at the end of drafts, man. All right, Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be discussing more of these positional previews. The closer we get to continuing to get you ready for week one in fantasy football, we're going to be back with the running back position next. For Faith of Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.